You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thank you, Vanessa. Breakfast on SEN with thanks to Brighton's lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Brighton's lawyers. Just before we get to Morgan, now, Miss, I will talk about Patrick Mahomes. How much was it? 50 million?
45 million US a year.
Yes. Now, Tony writes this. Tony from Guy Mear, a.k.a. my brother. he says they actually say it's cheap because it's worth about $10 million US for every home final. So the fact he's going to get them to so many home finals,
wow!
They say that's quite cheap.
Ticket sales,
all that.
Jersey sales, all that.
Wow. All that, yep. So that's what
Big
they say there.
Big business in America, isn't it?
Massive business. You can catch the Six Nations live on Stan Sport. Morgan Turinui is all across that, and he's on the line. G'day, Morgan.
Morning, gents. How are you?
Well, my spies say we're a little bit better than you. Were you spotted out on the harbour yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, Stan Sport, we're celebrating 2 years.
Oh,
so I don't know why we're celebrating a longevity that short. And I think it was the 8th anniversary of Stan itself, the platform. So I'll tell you what, we must be doing something right because we had a nice night on the harbour, paid for by Stan. So there must be enough subscribers. We must be hitting our targets.
I'll give you a bit of an urban myth, maybe true, Morgan. But do you know what Stan, the acronym of Stan is?
No idea.
So originally, so obviously Channel 9 is the owner of Stan. Mm. But originally when they were putting it together, it was to be 7, 10 and 9. And that's where the name Stan came up.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, there you go. But as it turns out, Channel 9 got the lot, so it should just be called Anyway, it doesn't matter. Eddie Jones is back. And I know you've been pretty vocal about this, Morgan, around the fact that England may have erred a little bit in his departing contract.
Yeah, look, I think they will now. They'll know. Maybe they didn't think he would bounce back so quickly and not to someone who they'd probably, you know, I think there's a 50-50 chance we really play England in a quarterfinal of a World Cup. So I don't think they probably thought that all the way through, thinking that he would bounce straight into a job like that. But I know they've come out since and said, oh, look, morally, we didn't think it was the right thing to do. But I think privately, they'll be absolutely filthy. You know, the amount of IP a guy like that has after so long in that England job, and also all the dossiers he has on all these Six Nations teams that you mentioned. It's a really great advantage just from that point of view for Australia to have that sort of guy come back with all the info he has. And I tell you what, they just won't want to play Australia. They'll know it'll be personal for Eddie. They know Australia, England's huge no matter what sport it is. So that's something if it comes on the horizon for England, they'd be worried about.
Morgan, Eddie's always been keen on former leagueies. There's rumours that Vunivalu could be back in favour.
Yeah, I think he's probably the big winner. You look around the playing group, he's probably the big winner. Didn't quite break his way into consistently Dave Rennie's preferred team. I think he got 3 minutes off the bench at the SCG last year to make his test debut. He's been troubled by a hamstring a couple of times, done a couple of real solid hamstring tears. But what I would say with Eddie Jones as Wallaby coach, a fully fit Siliasi Vunivalu is in our World Cup squad. If the strength and conditioning coach can get him right, we've all seen playing rugby league and the moments we've been out of set playing for the Reds and even playing for Australia a little bit in Japan last year, we've seen flashes of the brilliance since he's come to rugby. And if he gets back to full fitness, that's an X factor guy that can make a real difference in your Wallaby squad.
So, Morgan, we have not spoke to you directly, Morgan, around the departure of Dave Rennie and, of course, Eddie coming in. Is that the right call by the Wallabies, do you think?
We're going to find out in the next 9 months, aren't we? Look, I tell you what, it's harsh. It is harsh. I thought Dave did a really good job in trying circumstances. And I think we've already seen with Eddie, by contrast to Dave, Dave Rennie is a footy coach. He's happy in and around his team, coaching his team. He's not throwing barbs at press conferences. He's not out there, you know, jabbing and jibing with the leagueies and the landies and things like that. So when Dave is just a footy coach, then he lives and dies by his win-loss ratio, and it just made him vulnerable. 38% win record is just not good enough, and there's so much context to it, of course. But when Eddie became available, that was it. But, you know, the momentum changed, and as opposed to being able to wait till perhaps after this World Cup cycle, Rugby Australia thought, he's our man for the future. Eddie's available now. Let's get him. And look, now we'll see a Wallabies team that maybe, if they are successful, I think a lot of credit will have to go to Dave Rennie, but Eddie will bring a harder edge. He'll bring an even better work ethic, not to say that they weren't working hard. He'll just make them go to the next level. If we're as talented as Eddie believes, and we usually believe we're a talented group in rugby in Australia, he'll make them maximise their potential. And I think they'll be a dangerous team at the World Cup.
There seems to be something about Eddie as well. The moment he was announced as Wallabies coach, rugby's back in the papers, yeah. People are talking again. But what is it with Eddie Jones? It's like a star power as a coach.
Yeah, that's pretty new, to be honest, I saw him turn up to the Sydney Sevens on the weekend.
Yeah.
And he did a lot of pitch side interview, and little kids were coming down for selfies. I've never seen a bloke more awkwardly taking selfies than Eddie yeah. Jones, to be fair. But that's new. I'm not sure what it is. And I think now it's Eddie Jones after 20 years as an experienced coach. He was a little bit like Dave Rennie. His first stint as Wallabies coach, it was his first international gig. And I suppose that's what the game needs in Australia. That's the thing about Dave. It's not as simple as just being a footy coach. You've got to be out there and fighting for the game. That's where rugby union is in Australia. So I think that's why it's a really smart, savvy appointment by Hamish McLennan and Andy Marinos at the top of the tree at Rugby Australia. They get an outstanding footy coach, but they also get a guy who'll pat out and just go out there and just have a bit of a crack for the game itself. He'll defend the game. He's not afraid to publicise the game in any way he needs to. He can make things personal when we have inbound tours or we're going to play the All Blacks. He's not afraid to, you know, to make the front page of the paper, to make, you know, you guys talk about it. When you're talking about multi-sports, suddenly rugby is worth talking about.
I've got a theory, Morgan, on why he's blown up as a popular figure. Remember the bloke called him a traitor when he was coaching England, and he turned around and sprayed him, almost tried to jump the fence and fight the bloke. Yes. I reckon that almost endeared him to the Australian public and made him, it certainly went viral on social media, made people much more aware of who Eddie Jones is.
Well, here's the thing, right? And this is a conspiracy theory just between you two and I. Maybe that was a setup.
Oh, you know,
with Eddie
I like
Jones,
it.
He's a schemer. He's a player. Maybe he just organised that guy to do it. You know, like that's the kind of guy he is. Anytime he says something, we overanalyze. What's Eddie mean here? Why did he mention that player and not the other one? I'll never put anything past him. But you're right. That just went. Oh, that's Eddie, the proud Australian. And the good thing is we can celebrate his achievements elsewhere, but now it's great to have him do it for our own team.
Yeah, I don't mind that. There's been a lot of roosters in the past, hasn't there? They're saying that Wayne Bennett was purposely going after Ivan Cleary back in the day. Like, coaches think beyond, not just coaching the team, as you say. Six Nations, of course, Stan Sport have got that covered. Ireland are the favourites. Morgan, how do you see that playing out?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. The doubleheader Sunday morning Australian time will be huge. Ireland have to go to Wales. They're going to play with that roof closed in Cardiff, at one of the great stadiums in the world, one of the great atmospheres. If Ireland can get through that Wales game unscathed, that's the great thing about the Six Nations, everything is almost like sudden death rugby. You lose that game first up, suddenly you're chasing the eight ball, you've got to find a way to win elsewhere. If Ireland get through that, the fact that they host the other favourites, France, at home later in the tournament, that will make a huge difference. So they should be favourites. And also France, probably Ireland being ranked first, but I think France are the best team in the world, to be fair. Ireland are ranked first because they went to New Zealand and beat the All Blacks. That helped their ranking. But France have been excellent. Ireland haven't won the Six Nations in 5 years, so it's not like they're defending champs or should be overwhelming favourites. But France have got about six or seven of their best 23 are probably out injured to the early part of Six Nations, so that's a challenge for them. And lots of us are watching to see how Wales go with Warren Gatland back. Steve Borthwick, of course, is the New England coach. And so there's lots of little permutations and narratives around the Six Nations. And for people in Australia, I don't think we realise how big the Six Nations is over there. It's what, if you're not a regular rugby fan, it's the one thing you watch every year, free to air. You sit down with your family and you cheer against the opposition that you hate. So England versus Scotland this weekend as well is the Calcutta Cup. Obviously, centuries-old rivalry in terms of countries, and now it's on the pitch and the rugby field.
Morgan, I just want to pick your brain on one more issue. I keep seeing this popping up in the media. It's the tackling below, I believe it's below the sternum now, they're introducing over in England. What are your thoughts
mate,
on...
If only it was sternum. Mate, if only it was sternum. I wish
what
it was
is
sternum.
It?
It's below the waist.
Oh. Below the waist?
It's below the waist.
Oh, so, look,
I don't know how long we've got. It is a long and sort of a lot of detail to the story. But in essence, it's that rugby and rugby league as well, of course, and lots of sports now are so worried about player safety. And truthfully, some of the big groups like the RFU, they're worried about being sued for hundreds of millions of dollars for not taking care of their players. But there's been a lot of research go into it. And in essence, really quickly, is that the most dangerous tackles are head-on-head. So any tackle above the shoulders can result in really bad concussions, right? Funnily enough, the next most dangerous place to tackle is from sort of the hips and below, the waist and below.
Mm.
The safest place to tackle is from, say, the hips to waist up to sternum. Now, that's why the interesting thing is that the RFU are bringing in a rule for all community rugby, the tens of thousands of players that they have at a lower level of the game, not elite, that you have to tackle below the waist. So in essence, they're saying, let's get way away from that red zone that I mentioned above the shoulder. Let's go all the way down to the waist. But they've completely outlawed tackling in the actual safest place for the tackler there is, which is bizarre. So the French have done this a couple of times in their amateur levels, and New Zealand have done a study on it as well. Look, there's still lots of concussions because it is still not a great place to tackle, and you're taking away the best place. If it was me, I'd take tackles down to, say, armpit sternum,
yep.
and I'd change a few of the laws in the game. Because the other part of it is, especially at the elite level, I don't want to waste you guys' time getting too detailed, but there's a huge tactical advantage, especially like our league viewers that are listening. You know how much of a tactical advantage it is to take the ball, to tackle up where the ball is?
Yeah.
So unless you change some of the rules around how the game's played, coaches are still having to coach their players to tackle around the ball. They're telling them, don't tackle high. But there's such a small margin for error where the tactical advantage in the game is at the ball height. But if you slip tiny bit too high, and we know it's high velocity contacts. If you slip too high, it's really drastic and dangerous. So if we can change some of the laws around attacking players, lowering their body height and things like that in terms of tactically, so make it advantageous to run high, make it advantageous to keep the ball off the ground. As opposed in rugby now, the safest place for the ball player is to get as low as possible close to the ground. If we can change laws, and I'm happy with an armpit sternum, I just think waist is, I don't understand the waist height thing.
Goodness.
I think it's stupid.
No, I totally agree, Morgan. We appreciate your time for Stan Sport. I reckon around the Bristols is about the spot too. The armpits is the way to do that. Morgan Turinui, enjoy the afternoon.
Beautiful. Thanks, guys. Thanks. I learned something too around that Stan thing. Well done. Thanks, Joel.
7:10 and 9. Catch you later, Morgan. Plenty more still to come on Breakfast with Joel and the Missile. All thanks to Brighton's lawyers.
Vossie and Brandy here. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Don't forget, you can listen live to the show every weekday morning from 6 till 9.
Tune in through 1170 AM in Sydney or anywhere in the world through the SEN app.